My name is Avery Rapier, and you're listening to the Not Religious Podcast.
Hello, and welcome, everyone, back to another fine, dandy, amazing, beautiful episode of the Not Religious Podcast. I am Blake.
Salutations. I am Brian.
Salutations. Bring it back. For those of you who don't know, we used to have a YouTube channel called Salutations SC. It was basically like a podcast, just with a video.
We were before podcasts.
I know. We were cutting edge. The early days, we were basically doing the same thing, just in video form, so you could see our faces.
Yeah, when I did our business proposal to the ad people for our sponsorship, I wrote about we were podcasting before podcasting was cool, and I put a link to our YouTube channel.
Yeah, take that.
They never said if they watched it or not, but
okay. You guys can go back on YouTube and find all those videos. Those are great. Salutations SC.
That's right.
But yeah, we're back. Halloween season is still here.
Still among us.
The lottery is at...
No. Somebody won it.
Oh, that's right. They did win it, didn't they?
Okay. A 22-year-old kid from Somerton. No.
Oh, gosh.
From Simpsonville.
Still.
Yeah. He was a college student at SC State, I do believe.
No way.
$1.6 billion.
Now, what do you think that a 22-year-old from Simpsonville, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Is going to do with $1.6 billion. Well, no, by the time all the taxes come out, it definitely won't be that, but
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Did you see that one interview? I think it was a couple years ago. They were talking about, they were going around interviewing people. What would you do if you won the lottery? And the guy said, hookers and weed.
Yeah. I think he went past weed. I think he said cocaine.
Did he?
Oh, okay. Okay. Some cocaine. You know what my problem is with the lottery?
What?
So we've got this big push for like raising money for, you know, countries with starving kids in it and things like that. Yeah. And everyone's talking about, you know, if you only give 10 cents a day, it'll feed however many families and things like that, right? So, being America, we do things like the lottery,
right?
And where it's $1.6 billion, and we're going to give it to a 22-year-old from Simpsonville,
right?
When we could be, why don't we just take some of that money and give it to the, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, I think the same amount of people would play if you had, like, so say, let's give 1.599999999 billion to some charity, or let's like maybe in poverty in America or in a state, or, you know, homeless children or something. And then the people who play the lottery, they get to win like $100 shopping spree at Walmart.
I think that would work a lot better.
Or they'd pay your electric bill for like a year.
Yeah, but we're too greedy.
$1.6 billion.
That's so ridiculous.
Oh, I played. Did you buy a ticket?
No, I didn't. I didn't even bother.
I did on Friday.
Yeah.
And then went.
Just to,
why not? Yeah. Well, here's what happened. I found $40. Where did I find it at? I found it at the car wash. So I was vacuuming out the car and there was two $20 bills. I am notorious for finding money.
Yeah.
Like, I can find money.
Oh, I know. It makes me sick.
And so I found $40, and your mom actually said, he needs to buy a lottery ticket. So that's exactly what I did.
I love that she's the one that pointed that out.
And then, so I played it on Friday. I didn't win. And then Tuesday rolled around, and I was like, because, you know, the Mega Millions it's multi-state. So it's not just South Carolina. So it pulls from different states. I was like, what are the odds that someone from South Carolina is going to win?
Oh.
You know? And I was like, dang it.
Yeah.
But when I heard it was Simpsonville, like, my dad works up there.
Yeah.
And I was like, that old dude just won and he hadn't told nobody. He's not going to tell anybody. He's going to
play it very
low
key.
He's going to come home, get my mom, and they're going to like go to Barbados and we're never going to see him again.
They're gone. I saw something on Facebook about the lottery. It said 1 in 4 car accidents are caused by texting and driving. People commonly say, oh, that won't be me.
Right.
However, it's a 1 in 300 million chance of winning the Mega Millions. And people are like, you never know.
You never know.
Oh, I love it. Well, again, thank you guys for tuning in for this fine episode of the Not Religious Podcast. Today, we are going to talk about something that I'm going to be totally honest with you, Brian. I don't know where I stand on it.
I'm going to be totally honest with you, Blake. I don't know where I stand on it.
But I think that makes it fun, so that way nobody gets offended.
Well, here's the deal. Like, I've been, and you have too, really deconstructing what I believe, where my faith is, because I really want to know where my faith is. Because I feel like for the longest time, I was just following the herd and doing what I was told to do instead of doing the research and, you know, getting out of my shell and finding God for myself.
Yeah.
So I've kind of just stripped away everything I believe.
Yeah.
And slowly reading the Bible and praying and studying, reconstructing what I actually believe.
Right.
So I'm with you on, I don't know where I stand with this one.
Yeah, this one's going to be fun. Today we're going to talk about the theory of once saved, always saved.
Eternal salvation.
Eternal salvation,
yeah.
Right. So I've done research for both sides,
okay,
really. I've watched I watched one guy who said, you absolutely can lose your salvation. That's the video I sent you.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
That guy was hilarious. And then him just talking about,
he's a genius
to
himself.
He had I saw a video, sent it to Brian, of a guy that was, you know, given his experience where Jesus came down and gave him a vision of what hell was like and who was in hell, and it was people
from his church
that were burning in hell.
If you were a member of his congregation, how does that make you feel?
Like, the guy was a jerk.
Whoa.
The comment section
was the best.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
And then I watched a video of a guy that was like, no, you know, God's grace is definitely more
abundant.
Gracious, and abundant than that, you know, rather than something like you mess up and then you can lose it, you know?
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about both points today. I want to start with a story of a band that we like.
Okay.
For those of you who have heard of Under Oath, you would know that they were the pioneers of the Christian hardcore scene in the mid-2000s, right? Everyone, if you were a Christian hardcore band, you mimicked your stuff and swore by Under Oath.
Right.
They were just the leaders of that. They would go to Warped Tour and hold Bible studies while they're on Warped Tour, even just regular tours, you know, and they toured with everybody, and they really started that whole scene.
Right.
After a while, they kind of started to drift away from that, and we talked about a whole episode on the Christian music industry and how it really pollutes a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
They were the victims of that. They were the victims of the Christian labels being like, you guys cannot do this. You have to say this. You have to do this.
Conform to this.
Yeah, this is how you are supposed to do it if you're going to call yourself a Christian man.
This is how we do it.
Or you're fired. So they kind of broke away from that. They went through this really ugly breakup. Aaron Gillespie was out. And they went on a 2-year hiatus. We're just done. Made an announcement that they were coming back. However, when they made their comeback and they started putting out new music, the Christian scene was in an uproar.
Right.
Do you remember when that song came out?
Yeah.
So they put out a song called "On My Teeth" from their latest release, to which they very openly dropped the F-bomb, and it did not sit well with a lot of people. In an interview with Spencer Chamberlain, the main singer of Under Oath, he has completely denounced his faith. He doesn't consider himself a Christian anymore.
Right.
He wanted to get away from that Christian label so bad.
Right.
Because of just how ugly it had gotten. He had a drug problem, and instead of getting comfort from the Christians that were in his life, everyone just kind of turned their back on him. The fans kind of turned their back on him, you know? And in a video I watched, he said that there was someone, the people who did talk to him to get him through that were not Christians. They were atheists. They were, you know, whatever. And that really sat better with him. He was very offended. So he just kind of kicked it all to the side. He kicked God to the side. And when they reformed as Under Oath and Aaron Gillespie came back in, they all kind of realized everyone was at a different stage.
Right.
With their walk with God. Now there are members of Under Oath who proclaim to be atheists. There's some that are still very much Christians, you know?
And it was like they, well, Aaron Gillespie definitely went a different path with what, after all that went down and everything, like we've talked about before, he did some praise and worship stuff.
Right.
Like he went down a complete, he was set up to be the next, what's that cheesy Christian singer?
Jeremy Camp.
He was set up to be the next Jeremy Camp. I mean, that's what the record labels and everything were telling him. Like, fit this mold and this is where you're going to be. And right around the time that they came back together is when he was like, oh, man, this does not sit right with me. So you have really two different roads that were taken by these guys. One completely denounced everything.
Yeah.
And Aaron Gillespie was like, I'm just going to sell out. I mean, he didn't say that, but that's what he was doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
They, I liked the stuff after Aaron Gillespie left, but I could tell it was going down that path.
Yeah.
And the album they put out with him absent from it was great.
Yeah.
I loved it. But you could tell that the Christian elements were starting to kind of back off a little bit. So when they broke up, I was like, I kind of saw that coming.
Yeah.
Then they reformed. I got all excited. And I remember On My Teeth dropped and I was like, whoa. I mean, just the biggest middle finger to the whole Christian music scene. But that kind of leads into our topic today. So Spencer Chamberlain being the front runner of such a massive scene like the Christian hardcore music, holding Bible studies and things like that, to just say
dudes idled themselves.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he was what those bands wanted to be.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The band itself, but him.
Yeah.
More specifically, he was a mentor to so many guys and so many bands.
And then just to be like, I'm done. I don't even consider myself a Christian anymore.
Right.
I don't believe all that. It's just, I'm done with that.
So your question is,
Once saved, always saved.
Yeah, is he going to heaven?
And if he was to die right now, what would happen?
Right, because eternal salvation, that Calvinist camp is predicated on works have nothing, zero to do with your salvation. And I think that's a little unfair because I would say that the other side of the field on that is they don't necessarily think works, you know, lead to salvation. But what they're saying is if you pull something like he pulled, you can backslide or you can lose that salvation. Pretty much you have to live a certain way to maintain your salvation.
Right. So
that's perplexing.
Yeah. That's why it's so confusing. Excuse me. It's so difficult to try to get a grasp on it, because you have someone, say a pastor of a church. Let's say he pastored a church for 20 years, you know?
Right.
And then all of a sudden just drops it and says,
I'm done.
I don't even believe in God anymore.
Right.
In fact, I'm going to be an advocate for this and that and other, something that is totally opposite of Christianity, you know? Can you lose it?
Right.
So it's so tricky. It's tricky to rock around.
It is. And both sides use the same scriptures to their advantage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you'll hear one quote John, you know, one way, and then you hear them quote it on the other side, the very same scripture, and with a different interpretation of it. Yeah. And that's always, like, for me,
that's just the Bible in general.
That's the Bible in general. But coming from a culture where if you weren't, well, very specifically, the Church of God and speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
Like, if you did not speak in tongues, then you did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And if you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then you cannot operate within the fruits of the Spirit and all the gifts of what the Holy Spirit brings. So that's basically saying that my Christian brother over here, his interpretation of the Bible and the scripture that leads him to believe that you don't have to speak in tongues to maintain the Holy Spirit within inside of you, he's wrong.
Yeah.
His interpretation's wrong and mine's right.
Right.
And that's one thing that I've had to strip away from myself is looking at other people and saying, your belief system's wrong and mine is the right way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm more Christian than you. And that's what was pounded into my head.
Yeah.
You know, this culture of, you know, we've actually got it right, very pompously and very, you know, arrogantly.
Yeah.
We have a handle and we have, you know, the corner on this market. And,
oh, yeah. Every denomination thinks that they're.
But every denomination does that. Right. Yeah. Not every church, but there's. You can find that in every denomination. Oh, yeah. So for me to sit back and say, and eternal salvation was a big thing in the Church of God. We definitely did not believe in that. Like, it was a no-no to say that. Like, evangelical Pentecostal view is you can backslide. Yeah. If you're not living a sanctified life, then you can lose the grace of God.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, that's just...
You know, I can't comfortably say that that's how it is.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I can't say that it's not.
Yeah.
You know, I see the points on both sides.
Well, I watched a lot of videos on this one. One of the verses that stood out to me, and this was a video that was very, very much in line with, once you're saved, you're saved. You're saved.
Yeah.
This is 1 John 5:13. My purpose in writing is simply this, that you will believe it in God's Son. You who believe in God's Son will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, the reality and not the illusion.
Right.
So that's
the big one that's like the go-to for
right.
them. Like, look, this is telling you, you have eternal life. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your savior, you now have eternal life.
Yeah.
And I've also heard the argument, okay, that's talking eternal life. It's not talking eternal salvation. Mm. There's a difference between salvation and life.
Yeah.
And I can't find that difference, but that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing them say, okay, eternal life, that's basically given the promise of once you die, after you've lived a sanctified life as a follower of Christ, you have an eternal life.
Yeah.
And then the other side is saying, no, once you accept Jesus into your heart, he can't unaccept you.
Yeah.
I heard a good kind of metaphor for, well, it was basically a demonstration. This guy, he said, you know, some of the pushback he gets, he's a Calvinist, and some of the pushback he gets is, you know, I can let go of God at any point. You know, if we're walking hand in hand, I can let go of him at any point and go a separate way.
Yeah.
And his argument was, sure, you can let go of him, but he can't let go of you. If you hold hands with someone, one person lets go, that doesn't mean you can just walk away freely.
Yeah.
And his, you know, he was saying that God will constantly have his hand on you. Now, where he gets pushback is, okay, so let's say you're a good Catholic boy, you're a good evangelical Christian, whatever. You accept Jesus into your heart. He is your savior. You're living right. You've done all A, B, C, and D on you know, your way to salvation. Boom, you're a Christian. I hate that word. You're a Christian. And then you start, I don't know, just living the most deprived life you can live. Okay, so you start killing people, you're stealing things, whatever, on a constant basis, you go to jail, this, that, and the other. You know, people are saying, the pushback he gets is, you know, well, this guy can say, oh, I'm going to heaven anyway, I can live any life I want.
Yeah.
I can cheat, steal, smoke, drink, you know, have sex with whoever I want, you know, yeah, knock up a bunch of women. I can, you know, kill this guy and bury him in a field somewhere. Right. I can live any life I want because at the end of the day, I'm going to heaven.
Yeah. Well,
his view on that was, yeah, you'll have eternal life, but that doesn't mean God can't punish you on the here and now on earth.
Yeah. Cause I could, for example, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I've spent my whole life in church.
Yeah.
You know? To the point where I was being told this is how you do things. And you believe this way, and there's a rule book and you follow the rule book, and it was the same thing with where I went to school. It was nothing but a set of rules, right?
Right.
You didn't drink, you didn't cuss, you didn't whatever. And as I've grown as a human being and grown and moved into adulthood, and I started deconstructing my faith and not looking at it as a set of rules, and I started really opening up my thoughts on these types of things. So let's go by that. I've been in church all this time, and I'm a good example of what a Christian is. But what if I'm at work and something irritates me so bad that someone overhears me cussing?
Like,
I just got so mad and
with the fork.
I just flip out and I cuss somebody out.
Sure.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that that person is backsliding.
Right.
So
definitely.
So now, all right, I'm going to go to the gas station and get something real quick, but I get into a car accident on the way there and I die.
Right.
Does that mean that because I just cussed somebody out, am I going straight to hell?
Right.
It's almost like, what do you interpret as backsliding? What do you interpret as sin?
Yeah, I mean, and what's crazy is so many people think that this is black and white.
Yeah.
That the Bible itself or the relationship with God is black and white. But if you're trying to figure things out, if you're a new Christian or you're an old Christian trying to, you know, find your way, there's some stuff that's very gray.
Yeah.
And that's left to interpretation. Because there's so many different theologies and ideas and interpretations of things, and even your own, you know, at the end of the day, you have to admit to yourself that whatever I believe is completely wrong, because we will never have the full understanding of God.
No. Yeah.
until we reach that,
right?
You know, that period in our time where
and
we
that's
die.
The thing too, where you have to understand God's grace, which is hard to understand. But you don't know what He's really what has been man's interpretation of sin and what His interpretation of sin is. So, like, that makes it tricky when you think about how should we live while we're on this earth, and then we die because we could have had it completely wrong the whole time.
But
does that mean that whenever we get there, He's just going to be like, nope.
Sorry,
you didn't do it the right way.
Right.
But if their intentions were pure, then what kind of God is He? You know?
Yeah, I can definitely see this, the Calvinist approach of eternal salvation in the aspect of once you become a Christian, you have that desire to pursue God and build that relationship with Him. And as long as you are pursuing God, like, here's the deal. Regardless of what the rumors going around town about you and I are, we don't drink, we don't smoke, we don't cuss. We you know what I'm saying? That's not who we are. Regardless of what other people are saying, that's just not who we are.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we're going to condemn that stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I'm pursuing a relationship with God. And because I'm doing that, these other things that come along with morality and decision making, I have a clearer choice, a clearer view on how to make my choices.
Yeah.
I have conviction in my life. I have, you know, the Holy Spirit guiding me through this stuff.
Yeah.
So I can see the argument for eternal salvation, because I feel like if you are saved and you have a relationship with God, then you want to draw closer to Him. And by doing that, you live a morally just life.
Yeah. And we're not meant to wander around
the
whole time that we're here scared to death that every little bit, every time we mess up, that we just earned ourselves a one-way ticket.
Right.
To,
but at the same time, I can see.
That's just a miserable way to live.
It is. But I can see, because we are sinners.
Yeah.
We are still sinners. Every person you know, regardless of the title in front of their name, where they preach at, where they go to church, they are a sinner. We're all sinners.
Oh, yeah.
Continual. That will never change. You will never not be a sinner.
Yeah, that needs to be made very clear to a lot of people.
So we're all sinners. So I can see the viewpoint of you're going to sin, and sin is so tempting and so intoxicating that you can stop wanting to pursue a life close to God.
Yeah.
And that sin can draw you away from God.
Yeah.
So I can see the point of backsliding. I can see the point of losing your relationship. You know, I did a message one time kind of about this in a roundabout way. I had to be very careful because at the time, you know, I wasn't allowed to preach on eternal salvation.
Some guidelines.
Yeah. So, but an example I used is if you're going up a mountain with Jesus, you're going up that mountain. And say you're trying to get to the top of the mountain where God is. Okay. And then you start doing some things that aren't right. And you start, you know, going a little crazy with your actions or whatever. Where you are on that mountain, you don't start back over. You don't go to the bottom of the mountain to have to pursue God, because Jesus is with you the entire time. Mm-hmm. And He's with you as you go sideways.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's going to walk with you while you go sideways. He's going to walk with you back and forth. And when you want to start pursuing that relationship back with God, He's there. It's not like He's not, it's not like He will never leave or forsake you.
Yep.
He's always going to be there, and you're going to pick right back up where you left, because all that change in you is still there. So in a way, I guess I am a slight proponent of eternal salvation.
Yeah.
You know, but I can't definitively say one way or the other what's right and what's wrong. Have you ever heard of TULIP?
I don't think so.
TULIP.
Is that?
That's the acronym.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought we were going with a band or something.
No.
Like, oh, I love their
That'd be early stuff. That'd be a great name for a Baptist band, TULIP.
They sold out.
So it's called TULIP, or the 5 points of Calvinism. And I'll tell you what they are. Okay, the T stands for total depravity. And that's basically saying that man's dead. Okay, that you and I were dead and we sin unless we're born again.
Yeah.
Basically. Okay. The U stands for unconditional election. And that just simply means God chooses to give some people eternal life without looking for anything good in them. So just as a condition for loving and saving them, that, you know, God chooses to give that eternal life. Okay. So basically before you were born, before the world was made, God decided who would go to heaven and who would not.
Okay. Okay. I was wanting to get to that.
Okay.
Can we stop here for a minute, or do you want to? No, go ahead and finish the TULIP and we'll come back.
All right. L is for limited atonement. And that just basically means that Christ made atonement with his death. So I think that speaks for itself.
Yeah.
T-U-L, what's next? I. I is irresistible grace. And that is basically... that teaches that God's grace to save a person can't be restricted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
you cannot out sin.
Right. Grace God's is grace. God's free and everlasting power to save you. Okay. So TULIP would be the preservation of saints. And when you think of saints, you think of the Catholic Church,
right?
You know? But this is during the Reformation, so these guys are totally not talking about the Catholic Church. So this basically is like God preserves, like you and I, his people, so that we can never be lost. To simply put it, it just means once you're saved, you're always saved.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's TULIP. That's the five.
So the TULIP method.
The 5 points of Calvinism.
So, going to the predestination idea of it, when I was in high school, we had this rally every few years, where this team of people would come in. They do games and they had like a week long revival type thing.
Yeah.
Night services and things like that. There was a kid that got saved that was in one of my classes and very new to Christianity in general. He didn't grow up in church. His parents weren't Christians, things like that.
But they sent him to a Christian church.
But they sent him to a Christian school.
Or a
Christian school. Yeah. So he gets saved at this rally and he's asking all these questions. We had a teacher. Honestly, I don't know how he even got hired on with his beliefs because of what the church that held that school, what their beliefs were,
sure.
And what his were. It just doesn't make any sense. But, you know, he believed in predestination. And he was talking about that the day after this kid got saved. And he was very sure of the fact that he was going to make it into heaven. He was one of the selected ones.
Wow.
That was going to make it to heaven.
That's almost like the Jehovah's Witness.
Right.
There's only like...
just a handful that's actually going, yeah. So he was confident he was going. And this, my friend was very, very confused at that point.
I
bet. He was like, so what, how do I know? Like, you know, what if I live how I'm supposed to and I don't because I wasn't
right
predestined to go? So that makes me wonder, if you believe that way, does that mean that you can spend your life being a douche?
Yeah.
And
I mean, I'm already going to heaven. God already made his mind up.
I mean, while I'm here on this earth, I might as well, you know, live it up.
Live it up.
Yeah. You know, so.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
how does that work?
That's a whole nother one. That's just like.
And I'm only saying that because I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Well, no one knows.
And this teacher that I had was not the most approachable guy. So.
Yeah.
I didn't bother asking him.
You know, with predestination, man, I just, that's just another one where, you know, it's ingrained in you in this evangelical world that's a bunch of malarkey and, you know, because that takes away the sanctification of a person and takes away backsliding. So, I don't know, man. Like, is there scripture to support that? Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you can interpret scripture into anything.
Yeah.
Into anything.
I can take Jesus wept, and I could come up with a totally different meaning for that.
Jesus wept, which means he was more in touch with his feminine side, which means he might have been homosexual.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, someone can spin.
It can happen, yeah.
Right. You know, but people can definitely spin and interpret scripture any way they want.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It
is. And you have to rely on discernment and you have to rely on the guidance of the Holy Spirit to help you figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
Which is what I've been doing. But it's so hard.
Yeah.
Because you hear educated people. Now, there are some wackos out there and we've watched the wackos videos and they're hilarious and they're funny. We know some wackos, and they're hilarious and they're funny, but at the same time, there's some very smart people out there who have some very good ideas on both sides, on every side, and it's kind of like, wow, you know, this sounds good, and this sounds right, and this sounds good, and this sounds right. I think for me, at the end of the day, I believe God's grace is so bountiful. I truly do. I think God's grace... I've never known God's grace how I know it now.
Yeah.
I've never known it like this before. I have a whole new interpretation of the grace of God. But at the same time, my pursuit of a relationship with him is determining my lifestyle.
And that's what people forget a lot.
Yeah.
I'm still reading through Not a Fan.
Yeah.
But it's very much in line with it. There's countless guidelines and rule books for every single denomination, single religion that you can think of. But are you more so a fan whenever you follow those and you're by the book, or do you have a true relationship with him? And that way, like you said, you kind of can interpret things in your own manner. To ensure that what you have going on is pure and genuine instead of just, this is just the way you do things.
This is just the way it's done.
Yeah. it's so weird. it's so tricky.
It is. And what do you tell someone who's new? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think it's important to tell people.
I don't know.
I have no clue.
It's okay to say, I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. Let's figure it out together.
Together, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, but it's so hard because you and I can sit here and we can say that.
Yeah.
Okay? The majority of people out there who are professing Christians who go to church every Sunday, they can't say that. You know what they're going to say? Whatever crap their preacher just regurgitated to them.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to take the platform of the very reverend, whoever he is, up on a stage, you know, spouting off on his theology. And his theology from him to them is God ordained.
Well, we like to be told, too.
Oh, heck yeah. We want to be told
just
what we
think. Just give me a solid answer. Right. And I'm like
that. The human race.
I'm like that about a lot of things.
Right.
This, however, I feel is something
that's too important.
Way more, yeah, way more important.
Too important.
Yeah.
Way too important to just be told something.
Right.
And to take, even if someone on stage is saying, God gave this message to me, and this is how the Bible says it. You know what? That's great. That works for you.
Yeah.
I don't know if that works for me, right. And that's okay.
You know, ever since we started doing this podcast, and even before then, when I really started to deconstruct everything, I was very stagnant with my relationship with God.
Right.
And I was trying so hard to go by the book to make sure that I was, because I was told this is just how you live as a Christian. And, but ever since then, I have, do I read my Bible daily? Heck no, absolutely not. I don't have time for that. I'm just being honest with you.
Right.
I'm on the go constantly. And I don't have time for that. Do I talk to God daily? Absolutely not. It seems like I only go to him when I get really frustrated. And even then it's like a, you know, it's, if it is a prayer, it's out of, or if it's a request, it's out of spite, you know
right.
what I mean? Like it's, but at the same time, what others would consider that as backsliding.
Yeah.
I feel like I've actually grown closer to God.
Well, what you said goes against, I mean, people who will hear that will say, I knew it.
But I'm being dead honest with you. I don't have time to read my Bible every day.
I knew it.
Does that mean that my eternal
you
should have
never left where you were?
Right. Yeah.
I knew it.
You
know what I'm saying? Like
what the rule book was for that. You can pretty much count me out for all of it.
Yeah.
Because I have learned that that is not the most important thing.
Right.
I don't need to post a picture of a highlighted, you know, Bible and a cup of coffee every day and share the verse of the day on the Bible app.
Right.
And what have you. That's going through the motions. For me, that wasn't genuine.
Yeah.
I did that type of stuff to try to, you know,
fit in.
And to, I genuinely thought that that's just what you did.
Yeah.
You
thought you were doing it right.
Here's the thing. I never could bring myself to listen to Caleb. Just couldn't do it.
Right.
So, in fact, I don't listen to worship music as often as I used to, or just Christian music in general. And I think that alone sets off a bunch of red flags to a lot of people.
Oh, heck yeah. But telling you right now, because there's people who are listening to this just to pick apart what we say.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
Yeah.
But there's people listening to it.
How you doing?
Who would say, you've completely gone downhill.
Yeah.
And you're losing your place in heaven. You're losing your relationship
My
with
jewels.
God. But honestly, you've never been more vulnerable and raw with God than what you are now, because you're letting yourself.
I am so much closer, you know, it just feels more genuine than what I was trying to do before.
Yeah. Because before you were doing the country club, you know, let me do my devotion. Let me do this. Let me do this without any vulnerability,
and it was frustrating because I was like, this isn't me,
without any passion.
Yeah. So then I'm doing it, but I don't mean it.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to, you know, here's the thing. I think it's really, really sketchy to say you need to get in the habit of praying. You need to get into the habit.
Right.
Of reading your Bible daily.
I don't think God wants habits.
He doesn't want habit.
He wants true emotion.
If I'm doing it out of habit, then it's not genuine.
Right.
So, no, I don't think... I think if you truly want to just take in everything that God has to offer, and you want to dig into the Bible, I have a very hard time reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm. But that's you.
But that's me.
Right.
So
if people want to do a devotion daily or whatever, not out of habit, out of passion.
Out of passion,
awesome.
Go for it. Yeah.
Do it.
I envy you.
I read the Bible daily.
Okay. I envy that.
Right.
I can't do it.
Right. I do it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I don't read it how I read it before.
Yeah.
How I read it before was I was doing, you know, the Bible app plans,
yeah.
and I was making sure I was reading the Bible every day out of habit, but just to say I read the Bible every day. Okay, read my Bible today. I've done my good Christian thing. Let me mark off my thing. Okay, got in my prayer closet today and prayed. And
I never had a prayer closet.
Well,
I had no room in the closet.
I had to make a prayer closet. And so I checked off my box. I was in there praying or whatever, you know, but none of it was earnest.
Yeah.
You know, it never felt right. It felt like I'm just going through stuff. I'm just marking boxes here. And if that makes me backsliding, I don't feel like I'm backsliding. I feel that just brings me even closer to eternal salvation. You know what I'm saying? Because that's telling me I don't have to follow your rules to be close to God.
Yeah.
I don't have to agree with your interpretation to be close with God. You say the Bible tells me I have to read it every day. Well, that's not what I hear when I read these passages. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the Bible wasn't written for a absolute one-way ticket. The Bible is written for each individual to take it how they take it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Ah. Frustrating.
It is frustrating, and it's very frustrating that I spent so long in a shell, forcibly by my, you know, forced yeah. by myself. I forced myself to put God in a box, put my faith in a box, and put my relationship in a box. Just checking boxes,
yeah.
basically. Filling out my daily routine just to try to make it to my quota of what a good Christian should do. I'm so glad I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
And if that brings me to, I'm a Calvinist. Okay. Am I? I have no idea, man.
I don't know. I don't even care.
I have no idea.
I don't know what. I don't even like to consider myself a Christian a lot of times because I'm like,
I hate the word.
It's just, it puts a lot of, it puts a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths anyway.
Well, the word is, to me, the word Christian has been so perverted
yeah.
and dirtied
yeah.
by Christians that I don't want any part of it.
Yeah.
Don't want any part of it, man. I just want to be a follower of God.
Yeah,
I
and whatever want, that's called.
Whatever
I guess
that,
if you want to need to put a label on it, then that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, and I don't know what I believe, you know, emphatically about everything. I don't want to know what I believe emphatically about everything.
Yeah.
I want to keep wondering and searching and asking and questioning things. I want to grow. That is how you grow.
Yeah.
You're not growing if you just, you know, definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over expecting different results. You know, people who are just going to church selfishly.
And by putting a label on it, it's just more evidence that you're then making it a public display rather than a personal relationship.
That's right. You're going to church.
Oh, I'm such and such. So this is what I do. When you look at me, you know that I am for this, and I am against this.
Right. Why does that even matter,
man?
I
don't know. Because we're all idiots.
Right. We are.
Yeah.
We truly are. Going to church just to say I went to church and going selfishly to get an emotional feely feel.
Yeah.
Or, ooh, the music makes me feel this way, or the preacher makes me feel that way, and this is the way it needs to be done. And God, man, I mean... Yeah. To me, that is driving a wedge between a true relationship.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't.
Here's another thing.
You're married now.
I'm married. I'm definitely married. That's awesome.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's fine.
I had a thought.
But we, there's some days where we don't feel like going to church.
Mm.
And so we don't, and that's okay.
And people will,
they'll blast me for it all day long.
Right.
But here's the thing. If we have something, me and Allie we have 2 days off every week. Those 2 days, one, we really like to use that as a rest day, but usually one ends up being having to do something that turns into an all day thing.
Like watching football.
Well, I mean, that's relaxing to us, but before football came along, Saturdays were like
jam-packed,
really busy days for us. There was always, it's somebody's birthday. Some type of
graduation.
Right.
Baby dedication.
And then you're trying to, we meal prep for the whole week, mm-hmm. so you have to do that. We're trying to get laundry done, whatever. So if something is happening on that Saturday and we can't get the stuff done that we need to for the rest of the week, we would be like, let's just not go to church because we won't have another chance to do it.
Right.
So that's okay.
That's all right.
I think we'll be fine.
The reason I said you're married is I was going with, you need to treat your relationship with God how you would treat a marriage. Lee and I don't check off boxes.
Yeah.
We don't do the same thing repetitiously out of habit every day.
Yeah.
You know, we live our lives.
Yeah.
And each day is a new challenge and a new adventure. And we love each other more and more every day
mm-hmm.
because of that.
Yeah.
If we get into habits and routines and just going through the motions, our marriage is crap.
Yeah. Can't go through the motions. It's gotta be genuine.
Yep.
Was there anything else you want to add?
No, I think that was good. I think we could talk about this again some other time.
Sure. I mean, even at the end of this, I still don't know where I stand
know.
With
and
it.
And I didn't
and
expect
that's fine.
To. Yeah.
We're not supposed to have it all figured out.
No. But I did touch on Holy Spirit stuff. I think we need to do an episode on that.
It's in my notes.
Nice.
One day we're going to.
Nice.
All right. Well, Brian, we have a new way of doing this, by the way, for our song suggestions. I think this is going to go more smoothly. So, Brian, go ahead and what you got for this week?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I completely lost. Okay, yep, there you go. Oh, no, that's not what I wanted. All right, Guardian Angel. Guardian Angel uh-huh. by the Red Jumpsuit Apparatus.
Man, Red Jumpsuit Apparatus was my jam back in high school.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you're
getting into
them.
You know, for the last probably month, I've been very nostalgic with music. Stuff that I heard a long time ago that I was like, eh. You know, I'm not.
Now it's coming back.
Now it's coming back, and I'm like, oh my gosh, these guys, this is amazing. I'm dissecting the music more and listening to, you know, more. Instead of just letting it entertain me, I'm actually dissecting it and looking at, you know, the different parts of it, the different sounds of it, the dynamics of it. So I'm rediscovering a lot of music, and I'm happy about it.
Well, I'm definitely happy about this one. I love this band.
Why don't you play it?
All right, here we go. So this is Your Guardian Angel by the Red Jumpsuit Apparatus.
That was good. It came in a little hot. But
no one ever said we had to have this figured out either.
No, so. But hey, here's a note to Christian. He's the youth pastor over there at Venture. You know, he was talking about the quality stuff. Dude, just to let you know, We have upgraded some equipment here, so that's why we're able to play these clips while we record. We got some stuff going on. We are slowly making some progress to get some quality stuff. So just bear with us as we try to figure it out. And I think by episode 20, we will have,
we'll have everything
100. All right, Blake, what would you say is your musical choice?
So... I love Halloween. Yeah, you just watched Nightmare Before Christmas for the first time ever the other night. What was your thoughts?
Yeah.
Okay. I love it. This band is not from that movie, but I have been a huge Misfits fan for years. Because I love Halloween, because they opened
How old were you, do you think? I always remember you being a Misfits fan somehow.
I remember, dude, because they've just been around for forever. People don't realize that.
We first met, you were how old? 10?
10.
11? Were you a Misfits fan then?
No, wouldn't say then, but it wasn't long after. Just because they've been around for so long. They're kind of like Kiss with their marketing. You can find Misfits stuff anywhere.
Anywhere and
anything. You can find a shirt at Walmart if you wanted to, you know? But I love their music. They opened up this door of like the horror punk genre that I got into and dove into head first. I loved it. But Misfits I could listen to year round, but they have like Halloween themes and things like that. I love it. This song is my favorite, absolute favorite.
It's my favorite name of one of their songs.
Yep. And it's also my PlayStation gamer tag.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is. And they had the option just now coming out where you can change it, and I'm like, nope, I'm not gonna change it. I'm gonna keep it.
Just Dig forever.
Up Her Bones. But this song is called Dig Up Her Bones. This is The Misfits. Super excited about that one.
Boom.
One of my favorite bands, and I haven't done a single one of their songs yet. So.
Dude, like Emery last week.
Yep.
Misfits this week.
That's what I'm gonna start doing. I'm gonna get into my like favorite bands.
Yeah.
So
that's what you should do.
Yeah.
Have I done a Beastie Boys?
No. I don't. Yes, you did.
Did I?
Brass Monkey.
Okay.
Whenever Claire was on.
That's right.
What's up, Claire?
What's up, Claire? I still owe you $75.
What a jerk.
I know.
Listen,
and after we did her recording, the next morning, I saw her at Baker Sweets having breakfast, and I didn't even think about it then. Okay, so I told Lee, I was like, I'm going to go pay for her meal or whatever. I go over there to pay for it. She's already gone.
Oh,
my God, I'm such a horrible person.
I don't know when she's coming back. Claire, whenever you are coming back, hit us up and we'll have you on again, because I feel like that episode didn't do you justice because the audio was really quiet.
Right.
So
we'll do it again.
We'll have you on again.
About something else.
We'll find something else to talk about.
That's right.
All right. So thank you guys for listening. We hope that you enjoyed this episode. We hope that you've enjoyed all of our episodes. You can find us on all the following podcast platforms. Ready? Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Anchor, Breaker, Castbox, Overcast, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public. That's right. That was good. We should start doing that.
Start beatboxing.
That's really good. Yep. We need to work on that. You can follow us on Instagram. That's at Not Religious Pod. You can like us on Facebook, Not Religious Podcast. If you have a show suggestion, a song suggestion, if you want to just give us some feedback, you can send us an email. Yes, people still email. Not Religious Pod at gmail.com. Whatever your, especially the Apple listeners, if you could please do us a solid, leave us a rating and a review. That helps us out more than you could ever know. That'll get us closer to those sponsorships. We can really start getting this thing to kind of, you know, explode, if you will. I'm kind of wanting to do some contests at one point.
Yeah.
If we can get there.
Let's do that.
We'll work out all the deets.
Let's get some stickers
on that. Yeah, some stickers hats. You got. We'll work on that later on. Yeah. But
Episode 20, have it all figured out.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, thank you guys. We will catch y'all next week.
Be nice to one another.
Bye. Today's episode is sponsored by Nance Lawn and Landscape. Owned by my future brother-in-law, DJ Nance, Nance Lawn and Landscape is your number one source for lawn care in Sumter. Normal lawn maintenance, landscaping, flower bed edging, cleanup, weed eating, whatever you need, he does it all. Visit Nance Lawn and Landscape on Facebook for plenty of before and after pictures just to get an idea of what DJ can do for you. Give him a call today for a free estimate. That is 803-236-8247. Again, that's 803-236-8247 for Nance Lawn and Landscape.